Warning, we're about to have an adult conversation about a violent act. It will not be for all ears. We're going to talk to a rape survivor and the man who raped her. In 1996, Tom Stranger was an 18-year-old exchange student from Australia, dating the then 16-year-old Thordis Elva in Iceland. Fast forward to 2016, they both electrified a TED Women Talk audience with their story. First of how, when they were teens, he brutally raped a drunken Thordis in her own bedroom for 2 hours.
My head had cleared up, but my body was still too weak to fight back, and the pain was blinding. I thought I'd be severed in two.
Then they also told of how years later they found some sort of reconciliation.
Saying to Thordis that I raped her changed my accord with myself as well as with her. But most importantly, the blame transferred from Thordis to me.
That began when 9 years after the rape, Thordis started an email exchange with Tom. Then the two met in Cape Town, South Africa, located between their two countries and the seat of restorative justice, to try to find some reconciliation of their own. Their TED Talk has since been viewed over 3 million times, and now they tell their story in their new book, South of Forgiveness, A True Story of Rape and Responsibility. Thordis, are you there?
I am.
Tom, you there as well?
Yes, I am.
Look, there are going to be, as you know, a number of people recoiling at the very notion of a rape survivor ever extending any kind of forgiveness to a perpetrator. So, Thordis, I want you to start there. What you're both talking about may not be forgiveness, may not be for everyone.
True. For me, I don't see forgiveness as you laying your blessing over the hurt that was caused to you. On the contrary, I see forgiveness as underlining the hurt that was caused to you. I needed to do it for myself, to shed some of the self-blame and shame that I'd wrongfully shouldered over the years.
Tom, any profits that come from the books that you've written you're going to be donating to charity?
Yes, that's correct.
And people might be wondering, how are they sitting here talking about this? Why isn't Tom in jail? We should also say that by the time you even realized what had happened, the statute of limitations had run out. Thordis, let's start there. 16, you were drinking at a dance. You didn't handle it well, as no 16-year-old will. Tom volunteered to take you home. You talk about how in your haze you thought, this is so gallant. We hear this all the time, that at this time you couldn't make sense of what was happening.
No, I couldn't. I was a 16-year-old kid with a head full of misconceptions about sexual violence, and I thought that perpetrators were unknown armed strangers that were lurking behind a bush and that would jump at you. It didn't make sense in my head that it could be your boyfriend and that it could happen in your own bed. And by the time that I dismantled these misconceptions, Tom had moved to the other side of the planet because his exchange program had been completed.
Yeah.
For the following 9 years, I tried my best to outrun this part of my past, tried to numb my emotions. I struggled with eating disorders. So it wasn't until 9 years later that I effectively broke my silence when one day a letter streamed out of my pen, much to my surprise, because I hadn't planned on writing it. But it was a detailed description of the events of that night, addressed to Tom with this unwavering wish to place the responsibility with him and find a way to enable myself to have a brighter future than the past that lay behind me.
Well, and to Thordis's surprise, Tom, you wrote her back.
I pushed away and basically drowned any reflections on that night. I had, I guess, an unconscious refusal to acknowledge and to own and to remember what I did. It wasn't until many years later that Thordis sent me an email that very much jogged these memories, and it was irrefutable and undeniable, and I could recognize myself in what she was describing in this email. And to deny it and to not respond and to not write back would have caused further pain. So I did write back and essentially said, where to from here?
Well, and you end up going, as we said, to South Africa. And as a reader, your heart's pounding because you think, what's going to happen? I mean, is Tom going to be violent again? Is she going to take revenge on him?
Going to South Africa, you're right. The heart was pounding. I didn't know if this would result in a positive outcome, but I went there with tremendous hope that something constructive could be built out of a deep pain.
Yeah. Well, Tom, one of the things you both discovered was how much you had suffered. But, you know, people might be repelled to think of you as a victim and might have a hard time believing that you didn't really know for a long time what you did.
I can understand those reservations and not being able to relate to my act. And the last thing I'm seeking to do is to soften or to sanitize what I did. And it was a very long process to take that on, to own that, to understand it as something that I was once capable of. That is very much incongruous with who I know myself to be as well. So there was a lot of denial. There was a lot of suppression. There was a lot of
isolation in your life because, you know, deep down, you knew you'd done this. So it sounds like you were, on some level, punishing yourself.
Yeah, and that's the thing. In me having the privilege of speaking to this today, it almost feels like an abuse of that privilege if I make too much of my processes.
Yeah, yeah.
The week in Cape Town was very much about an analysis and a very long conversation to understand what the results were for Thortis, to understand what this had meant in her daily life, and to try and have some kind of comprehension of the damage that I caused. And I should state, not before that night and not since have I had any inclination to commit such an act of abuse, but it was it's undeniable, but that I caused an immense amount of hurt. And in speaking about this publicly, I do hope that, you know, the audience for this might be young men who might harbour such damaging notions of entitlement to a woman's body that I did. And in speaking to Thortis, it's been important to kind of excavate and uncover the why and my motivations that night, and being able to understand face to face.
Thortis, I can hear Tom unwilling to talk about some of the ways this had impacted him because he's so conscious that he was the perpetrator. Were you surprised to hear how this had impacted him?
Yes, I was. I was surprised to realize that we had in some ways lived parallel lives. The shame and self-blame that I took on led me on a self-destructive path. And to some extent, that was mirrored by Tom. But the shame and blame that he took on were, of course, a natural result of his actions.
Right.
It was also very important to have that responsibility transferred from me to Tom, that I guess, in a way, liberated not just me, but also Tom from the running and the escapism that he had undergone for years and years.
Well, Tom, you know, the question for you was why? No one in your life is like this. You'd not seen violence. You'd not been brought up with this. And that's part of what you both figured, or Thortis helped you figure out in South Africa, the why. What is the why?
It was a notion that almost a horrible expectation that if a boy goes out drinking with his girlfriend, he's entitled to sex. And of course, it wasn't sex. There was no consent sought, nor did Thortis give me any consent. And that, with a mix of a self-absorbed self-centeredness and damaging ideas.
A part of the problem when it comes to sexual violence, it has been the silence of those who commit it. The silence has not just been with the survivors, but also with the perpetrators. Their invisibility and how unaccountable they've been.
Hey, Tom, and what would you say to men who might say, date rape, it's different from rape?
I've been really privileged to have some amazing conversations with men. One of the most affecting one for me was with a group in Sweden called Fahtaman. There was one particular initiative and a slogan. It begins with me. It talks that notion that this is deeply culturally rooted. But you're absolutely right. I've also been speaking to men, have been offered excuses, been told, you know, you're only 18, we're all hormonal, you were drinking, which very much tells me that there's still a long way to go.
Do you think that you're unique in being able to do this? You were, you know, friends before. What do you say to women who say, I could never risk approaching my perpetrator?
To anyone who's been subjected to any kind of abuse, my main advice is always put your safety first. I contacted Tom from the other side of the planet through a written medium. And yes, you're right. The unique circumstances under which our story took place, of course, is the sole reason why we're even able to sit here today.
Well, you're both married to other people and still on this journey together. We've heard of how something lifted for Thortis, Tom, and you claiming responsibility. Did something lift for you as well?
Yeah, I've come to a place of understanding. That certainly doesn't sever any ties to that night, nor my responsibility for it. It's something that's always obviously difficult to ever be at peace with, but I am blessed in that, yes, I'm in a supporting and loving marriage and have the support and understanding of some of my friends and family. So, and it just infused with a purpose to hopefully transmute this into something beneficial.
That's Tom Stranger and also Thordis Elva. Tom, Thordis, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Bye.
So much.
Bye-bye. Thordis and Tom's book is South of Forgiveness, True Story of Rape and Responsibility. Their companion book, The Little Book of Restorative Justice for Sexual Abuse, has information that might guide others. We'll have links to their TED Talk, resources for rape survivors and for perpetrators, men who've raped, who want to make this a men's issue as well, at hearnow.org.